Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
America needs a tidal wave of the old-time religion.
I have sinned against you.
How dare you!
We have no need to doubt God.
The heart of Babylon is preparing the nations to receive the Antichrist.
I didn't even build that house with money from the church. I built it with money from my book.
I don't make this stuff up.
Repenting of your sin.
It is a moral issue.
They got together and swore a pact to the devil.
I just enjoy seeing people worship, praising God.
Hey everybody, and welcome to
Believe It
or Not,
the show where we believe it
or not,
or maybe.
I meant to bring my. I had a object lesson. I was gonna have a little product here that I was gonna hold.
Oh,
but I forgot it. It's on the other side of the room, and I'm not getting up now.
What was it?
A little red Bible.
A little red Bible.
Did you ever have a little red Bible?
I've seen those little tiny Bibles. You know what's funny? The only time I've seen them is when clearing out old people's attics, and they always have a little Bible.
Yeah.
And it's usually like signed. It's like, oh, to Meredith or something like that. And they look like they've never been used.
Yeah. Well, because now I figured this episode would work well with back to school. It's around that back to school time right now.
Little red Bible. Do 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 do.
Back to school.
Back to school. Because it fits in your backpack?
Yeah. No, because every year, the tradition was every year on fifth graders would get this little red Bible from the Gideons.
Why fifth graders?
It was just the year they decided. At first, when they just gave it to everybody fifth grade and up, but then once everybody fifth grade and up got one, they're like, well, now we just, once you hit fifth grade, you get this red Bible. So, but they're given it by the organization Gideon's International, and yeah, they give Bibles to school kids as well as hotel rooms.
Oh, the ones you see in the hotels.
Yeah.
I have heard of a Gideon's Bible.
Yeah,
I've probably signed a few.
Have you? Oh, you're like in the hotels. Yeah,
the hotels where you sign them from. You know, like you sign them as if Jesus was signing.
Oh,
them.
That's smart. Yeah, that's fantastic.
But I haven't been in a hotel in a while with a Bible, so I haven't.
Yeah, I don't know. Last time I was in a hotel was probably about a year ago, and I don't remember seeing a Bible, but I also wasn't
I know they're not
looking.
As common anymore.
Yeah. I read one article that's very upset that more hotels have condoms than Bibles now, which isn't true, but that's what they claimed.
Listen, I can guarantee more people are going to hotels for fucking than they are for Bibling.
Yeah. Yeah, it's much cheaper just to buy a Bible, I think, than get a hotel room, too.
Or just find the Bible online.
Yeah. Bible, I was going to give a website for a Bible, but
I'm
not promoting it.
Look up a Bible app right now.
Bible Gateway.
Let's see how cheap it is.
There's just the Bible app. It's free.
Bible.
Yeah.
Bible Offline. King James Bible.
Yeah.
Free. Yeah. Holy Bible. Easy. There you go. Why would I go to a hotel
exactly
so I can read it alone?
Exactly.
I guess you could order room service.
Yeah, I guess so.
Wow.
I should point out this episode was suggested by somebody in the comments, so if you have a suggestion for a topic or you or the listener, leave it in the comments on youtube.com or send us an email. But the problem is I don't always see every comment, but I try to. So
yeah, I mean, if it doesn't work one time, wait a little bit and then maybe try it again.
Yeah.
But don't spam the comments.
Don't spam the comments.
Come on. So today we're talking about the Gideons.
So in 1898, year of our Lord, 1898, a couple businessmen were on a business trip. They were door-to-door salesmen, yeah. which was a popular job to have at the time. A lot of times, I think a lot of door-to-door salesmen were con artists who would try to sell bands to small towns.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
then mm-hmm. try to sell them.
Or
like,
monorails.
Yeah, or monorails, yeah. But some of them were just regular door-to-door salesmen, and there was two gentlemen by the name of John H. Nicholson and Samuel E. Hill, and they get to a hotel, and in it was the Central Hotel in Boscobel, Wisconsin, and they only have one room left in this hotel. It's a double room. These people don't know each other, but they're like, hey, let's just share a room. I just need a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
And they get to the room, and they find out that they're both believers in the Lord, and they're both evangelical Christians, and they love the Bible and want to spread the word of the Lord. And so they form a fast friendship and decide that, hey, we got to do something with this. We got to make some sort of thing for businessmen who also want to tell everybody about the Lord. So in July of 1899, they decided to meet up with as many men as they could. So they found one more, Will J. Knights. Yeah. So three of them now are in this organization, and they're like, what are we going to do? And the idea of just spreading Bibles, making sure everybody has Bibles, was the idea. So free Bibles for all was their mission.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad that we've kind of mostly moved past the age of the door-to-door salesman.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's been usurped by pop-up ads and you know, targeted yeah. emails and stuff, which are annoying, but they're much easier to ignore than some dude coming to your door. And
yeah.
saying like, hey, do you need this useless shit that you don't want?
Yeah.
It'll be great for you.
Because now it's usually MLMs, mm-hmm. so like knife salesman yeah, or yeah, whatever, yeah. or those guys who say that they're there to inspect your hot water tank.
Oh, or the college painters or whatever.
Oh, yes. Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You ever do that?
I did for a day. They had me canvassing. The first day was with the owner, and then he's like, okay, you come out tomorrow. You'll be with a team of people. You'll be going and doing this. I'm like, okay. And I showed up. It was only me.
Yeah.
I did it for 20 minutes, and someone yelled at me for bugging them during dinner, and I called them like, fuck this. I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
Shit. Like, first of all, you lied to me, and second of all, this is horrible, and I hate it.
Yeah. So. There were three guys, I think. I think there was three or four of them. And when I was doing my internship at the church that I worked mm-hmm. at, they were selling encyclopedias to they were going door-to-door selling encyclopedias, yeah. which was insane. That was in 2003, 2004. The internet already existed.
I feel like that was like the dying breaths of the encyclopedia. Right?
Yeah.
Because I still kind of... But I also remember that was when like you could get those CD-ROM encyclopedias.
That's true, yeah.
I think my grandfather had one, and it had like little video yeah. clips and
oh,
everything.
Oh, yeah, we had one. I was
remember
very
the
excited.
The Blue Ring Octopus. Yeah. It was like, you know, really 420p or whatever. Yeah. 480, whatever. Barely low quality.
But yeah, these guys... So they ended up staying with the youth pastor... They went to the high school, went to the principal, and were like, do you know any places we could stay? So he's like, okay, I'll call the local churches. So they called our church and our youth pastor. His wife was on a missions trip for a couple months.
Okay.
So he was living alone. So they the guys stayed with them. And I remember three out of the four were really into selling encyclopedias and would sing this song every morning. And the fourth guy was like, what did I do? What am I doing?
Sing this song.
They had this like song they would sing every morning to like hype themselves up for like going out and selling encyclopedias. But the other guy would like start his route and then we'd just go see a movie together.
And he told you all about the song and how awful it was.
Yeah, he took a video of it and like, he's like, what did I do? I don't know. I just needed a summer job. But so that's my experience with door-to-door salesman is going to see the Hulk movie with a door-to-door salesman.
Maybe he was better off going selling encyclopedias.
Yeah. And that's the first one with Eric Bana. Anyways, so the So eventually, though, they got more people involved and mm-hmm. decided to become a missions organization that was primarily set around door-to-door salesmen. So everybody involved was a door-to-door salesman. Eventually, in 1837, it expanded to more than just door-to-door salesmen, but it was just businessmen.
Yeah.
Who could be members, and they grew and grew.
Why,
and,
did they only want businessmen because they thought they were the only ones who'd be able to like help them grow? Is that what it was? Or?
Yeah, I think they wanted a ministry. They wanted it also to be a ministry to businessmen, because I think part of it too is like you're out on the roads, alcoholism or sleeping around right. is like a temptation. So if you're part of this organization, then you're doing good things for the okay. community, but you're also
kind of to stop them from being yourselves. Awful.
Yeah.
Right.
And then also they have more access to money? I don't know. Businessmen?
I don't know if they made a lot of money doing those door-to-door salesmen
stuff.
No, I
don't think so. But so businessmen, but never women. And we'll get into that.
Yeah. Well, you can't have business women.
Oh, no. How would that work?
Wouldn't work.
No. When I worked at a coffee shop, it was by, you know, those tour buses? Mm. It was by one of their stops, and they it was like their longer stop, so they'd always come in for coffee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I met some comedians that way that we're still friends with.
I know a few of them.
And but one of them was, one of the guys that came in was a driver, and he was just this sexist asshole. Oh. And one time he's like, you know that even women can drive buses? And I'm like, even even women, tell me more. What do they do with their uteruses while they're driving? He's like, what do you mean?
Doesn't the steering wheel get in the way?
Yeah. Fucking guy. Anyways, but women were allowed to be part of the women's auxiliary, the Gideon Auxiliary. So they had their own separate organization, but they had to be the spouse of right. one of these businessmen.
So you had to be the spouse, and they probably had to do some, like, I don't know, some secretarial duties.
And
for
they probably had
well.
To, like, make sandwiches for events and
right,
stuff.
Right, right, right.
Those little triangle sandwiches.
Mm.
Yeah.
Just a square sandwich.
Yeah.
Or in fourths.
And 2022, they had 269,500 members in 200 countries. But around this time and a little before is also when a lot of places started changing their names because of the women's issue. So because they have copyrights around the name, a lot of different countries are like, well, we want women to be members too, but the organization right. itself is like, no, it's a men's only group. So
it's pretty wild that it's gotten to 2022 and it's still just like a men's only kind of thing,
yeah.
essentially.
Yeah, because in Canada they changed the name, and each time they change the name, they give a bunch of different reasons, but it seems like the core reason is
they want ladies.
They want women involved, but the
well,
Gideon
probably
International
they don't have a lot of people and they need more members.
Yeah. Because in Canada, it's now Share World Global.
Share World?
Yeah.
What a terrible name.
Yeah. And what was it in England? Oh. In the UK, it's something else. They changed the name to, like, Good News. Good News Club
Queen's
or something.
Bounty.
Good, yeah.
Good News.
Yeah.
Good but, News Club?
Yeah, something like that. But, yeah, so the first thing they started doing was distributing to hotels and motels eventually.
Holiday
but,
Inn.
Yeah, Holiday Inns.
Hotel, motel. Holiday Inn.
But what they would do is they would find out how many rooms there were in a hotel, and they would give each hotel that many Bibles plus extras to replace them, and then they'd check in once in a while to replace them if needed.
Right. Like they would check into the rooms and see if like open the drawer. There's the
there
Bible.
It is. They encouraged stealing. They said, if you need this Bible, just take it. We'll replace it. So they were.
Is that really stealing, though, if they're
encouraging
it?
No, I guess not.
So I just want to say, you know, because it seems like a moral gray area if you're saying steal, because you're not stealing if you're giving it away.
Mm-hmm. If you really need it, they said take it. And they would also give out free Bibles. And they said, I think it was a 6-year shelf life that these Bibles would have. So they'd always replenish them at hotels every 6 years.
Why 6 years?
Wear and tear. They seem to get it down to a science of this is when it wears out. And
who's wearing out these Bibles? They just sit in a drawer.
No, people read them. It's learn about the Lord.
I was like, is it one of those things where, you know, it needs to be revised and edited?
Yeah.
I'm like, uh-oh.
And then they also started putting them on military bases.
Okay.
And during World War II, they made sure that everybody in the armed forces had their own Bibles. They had different color codings for wherever the Bible went. Orange was for sidewalk distribution, so just handing it on the street.
Was this the cover or like along the pages on the side?
The cover.
The cover.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Green was for college and university students. Mm-hmm. Red was for in-school distribution in middle school and high school students. So yeah, that's the little red ones. And those were New Testaments with Psalms and Proverbs as well.
Okay.
And then the camouflage, digital camouflage or desert camouflage for the military. Any language other than English was dark blue and county jails. And then white for medical professionals, light blue for distribution by the women in the auxiliary, brown for jails and prison facilities. Burgundy for personal workers' testimony for individual witnessing. So that's their own. Periwinkle, personal workers' testaments for individual witnesses by the auxiliary. Okay, so the auxiliary's own Bible. And then during World War II, they issued brown for Army, blue for Navy. And then desert camouflage and digital camouflage for after that for the armed forces.
Wow.
So the distribution in school is where they've had the most issues with freedom, like separation of church and state, freedom mm-hmm. from religion kind of ideas.
Yeah, because not everyone wants a Bible.
Yeah, exactly. So at first it would be like they would hold assemblies, share the good news of the Lord, and then give it out to all the students. And then eventually they would just go into the fifth grade classrooms, give their little speech, hand them out. And then for most places, especially in the United States and Canada, and probably around the world, you had to have written permission from your parents in order to be part of the assembly or to be given a Bible. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of schools banned it, so they just started handing it out on the street outside of the school. Yeah. In 1953, a judge in
Hackensack,
New Jersey, heard arguments in Tudor versus Board of Education of Rutherford and Gideon's International about it was a separation of church and state issue handing out and many lawsuits. So that one lost, and then that went to the state Supreme Court, which favored not handing out Bibles. And so like Gideon's won and then they lost,
right?
Basically,
which is always funny that we have this stuff in like the 50s, yet we're right back to it.
Oh,
now,
yeah,
where they're like, you got to teach evolution if you're going to teach science, or if you got to teach creationism if you're going to teach evolution.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
What are you fucking talking about?
And I'm pretty sure I could be wrong, but they're proponents of the teach the controversy thing as well. And just getting into schools. 2007, a religious liberty organization filed a motion for charges to be dismissed against two men who were arrested in Key Largo, Florida, for handing out Bibles in front of an elementary school.
Elementary school?
Yeah.
I mean...
And middle school.
I mean, I get that you think you're doing good, but it can't help but just feel predatory.
Yeah, exactly.
You're targeting small children. You're a grown adult handing out books to children.
Yeah.
Without parents or permission. Yeah, that's fucking weird, dude. Don't do that.
Yeah. Oh, 2008, Americans United for Separation of Church and State brought suit against South Iron School District in Missouri handing out Bibles in classrooms. They keep doing another a good thing they do too, not good as in good to do, but like a clever thing they do is they get church youth groups involved.
Okay.
Because if the kids are handing it out, there's right. nothing the
they
law
trick
can
them.
Do. So they get the kids from church youth groups to hand them out in schools to all their friends.
That's how volunteer organizations work. They trick you into doing their dirty work.
Yeah. And what was the quote here? Because it's all about get them young. Get them young is the idea.
That's always been the church's goal, though, is to get them young. Brainwash them and break them when they're babies. And then, you know, it makes it so much harder for them to leave.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Here's what they said in 1946. Hardin was this guy who said, to win men and women for the Lord Jesus Christ by reaching them early in life, in the days of their youth, before the evil days come, the boys and girls of our public schools may, by means of precious word of God, come to know Him.
You mean before they have common sense and, you know, reason?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Before they're educated enough to understand that they're being fucked over by your shitty belief systems?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That fucking bull wop, bull plop.
Yeah. Indoctrinate them into your death cult.
Yeah. So, yeah, like I said, lots of controversy around the women's... Oh, yeah, military, too, because they handed them in military, but that's also a public institution, so mm-hmm. a lot of pushback for that, and less so with the schools, but still people are like, I'm not a Christian. I don't want this pushed on me. So they're allowed to leave Bibles in rooms, but they're not allowed to proselytize and, like, hand them out individually, right. Which they also want to do. But
I heard that Bibles used to be good for use as rolling papers because yes. the pages were so thin.
Yeah, that's true.
So
it's also why a lot of times you hear those miracle stories about like a church burned down, but all the Bibles were intact, or a house burned down, but the Bible is intact. It's mm-hmm. because the pages are so thin because it's such a big book that they have to use higher quality paper, and also it's so dense and packed together.
Yeah, it's compacted together. Of course it's likely to burn.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes total sense.
Yeah, and a lot of them are leather bound where other books mm-hmm. aren't, and mm-hmm. so
I'm sure if you look through those burned down houses, there'd be a lot of other things that yeah. also weren't burned.
Well, it's like that bullshit thing. I TikToked about it, but in Maui, mm-hmm. all the disaster in Maui right now, and that one church survived, so everybody's counting that as a miracle.
Right.
But meanwhile, another church with a historical section about like the history of Maui was destroyed, mm-hmm. But they ignore that, and they're just happy that a church that had walls around the outside or something
yeah.
to do with...
There was the landscaping or whatever prevented the fire from actually yeah. reaching the building.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, same as that like one house that they have a picture of where yeah. because of what's around it,
exactly.
it wasn't affected. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even like when Notre Dame caught on yeah. fire, and there was like things. It was like, see, it didn't burn.
Yeah, because, the gold cross. Yeah, because it's
the
gold.
Lord, whatever. Yeah. It was like, yeah, because it has a higher melting point.
Yeah.
Than anything. Like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah, it was ridiculous.
Stupid.
Yeah.
It's stupid bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to talk about a miracle, it would have been a miracle if it didn't catch on fire.
Yeah, exactly. They have been printing less in the last couple years. A couple of their printing presses or whatever they're called, printing companies have shut down mm-hmm. and they're spending a lot less money on printing because people have the internet, people don't want Bibles, not as many hotels are asking for them, not as many hotels want them, and you can't distribute them in schools. There's a lot of reasons, but it's shutting down and it's getting smaller and smaller, and like I said, a lot of organizations are leaving the Gideons, so it's not as international anymore because each country is becoming their own organization because of the crazy oversight. Yeah.
So they're still based out of the, they're based out of the U.S.
Yeah.
And they have a bunch of national things, but they're all leaving because of the naming and the women thing.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're losing. You know, they're not able to get Bibles out. Nobody wants
yeah.
them. They've also kind of saturated the market with Bibles. So, like,
oh,
even
yeah.
if you want to keep distributing them, there's enough fucking Bibles.
Yeah, we got Bibles.
There's tons of other people making Bibles. There's all different versions of Bibles. We don't need any more Bibles.
Yeah.
What do you think's next for them? What are they going to do? Are they going to do digital Bibles? Are
Probably.
They going to start implanting them into people's brains when they're babies?
That'd be so cool.
Do you think that's what it'll be?
That's what they'll do. Yeah. They'll yeah.
contact lenses that have the whole Bible written on them.
And those are handed out in fifth grade?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Brain chips.
I know there's other Bible printing charities or whatever, and I can't remember if it was Gideon or Wycliffe, but I know that...
Wycliffe Jean?
Wycliffe Jean, yeah. I know that my step-grandfather was giving a lot of money to one
oh, really?
Of them. I think it was the other one, but like, yeah, just so much money when there was also... things that probably needed his money.
Yeah. Do you think that these organizations could do a lot more good by actually, you know, doing something good with the money instead
no.
of printing Bibles?
Yeah, probably. It's like, have you ever seen, mm-hmm. oh, what's that movie? Burt Wonderstone or whatever?
Yeah. The Magicians?
The Magicians,
that was,
when
yeah.
they have the charity to give magic kits to the poor.
Oh, yeah.
It's basically that. It's like it's not actually something they need. It's yeah. So yeah. That's what are your thoughts on Gideon's?
I feel like they're an outdated organization that should have died years ago.
Yeah.
I feel that I'm honestly surprised that they're still basically the same as they always have been.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed. It definitely has that old kind of boys club feel.
Yeah.
I like a holdover of like Shriners and like
exactly.
men's yeah. clubs.
That's
right?
exactly like what it is. They
it's
wanted
basically
their own.
A Christian yeah. men's club yep. trying to justify their existence.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're not doing a very good job of it now. So. Mm-hmm.
So move along, folks.
Stick to the basements, having your parties with yeah. your, I don't know, Tang.
Yeah, I'm picturing a church basement.
Tang.
Styrofoam cups with bad coffee.
Oh, bad coffee, yeah. They have one of those big percolator things
yeah.
where it just tastes like burnt sludge.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, awful.
Yeah.
I'm depressed just thinking about it.
Have you seen Renfield?
No.
Okay, yeah. That's exactly what I'm picturing, though. Like, when you watch the movie, you'd be like, yep. Yeah. But should we thank our patrons?
Let's thank them.
Oh my God! Wow! Thank you so much!
Oh,
wow.
Thank you!
Oh, thank you! Thank you so much!
Oh Lord, we pray and we thank you for blessing our Bible study.
Thank you for blessing us, oh Lord. We thank you. Amen.
Amen, Lord. And Lord of the Bible study.
Lord of the Bible study.
We have some prayer requests for you.
Lord of the requests of prayers for you.
I have a huge prayer request for Tarek and for Rue. So we lift up Tarek and Rue.
Lift them up
to you.
So high. And I have a special prayer request for our good friend, Alley Cat.
Mm.
Now, you know Alley Cat is a huge fan of going to the SPCA, the animal shelters, and going and petting every animal in the building, mm-hmm. every dog, every cat, every ferret, whatever. You know that they love to do that. But the thing is that they're taking up too much of the people's time, and there's other people who want to come in, see those animals, pet those animals, try and adopt those animals. So, Ali, listen, if you could limit it to maybe like 3 or 4 pets a visit, that would be really appreciated, okay?
Amen.
Amen.
And Jonathan mm-hmm. also has been going with Alley Cat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the problem with Jonathan is they have a one pet policy.
Mm.
So every animal gets one pet, mm-hmm. quick, over. And it's like, you can take a little more time than that.
Yeah.
So Jonathan, Alley Cat, find an in-between.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But we really appreciate all of you. And should we do some Christian rock lyrics?
Let's rock to the Lord's music.
Yes.
Can't you see you're not making Christianity better? You're just making rock and roll worse.
So we talked about how there's condoms, how yeah. they exist.
Yeah.
Some Christians don't like this.
Okay.
Because it encourages promiscuousness.
Promiscuity?
Promiscuousness.
Promiscuous. Probiscuses.
And one person who didn't like the idea of safe sex... mm-hmm. outside of marriage was a man named Michael Sweet.
Wait, so he didn't like safe sex outside of marriage. So in marriage, you can use a condom?
I don't... Nah, it depends.
Because I know, like, the
yeah.
Catholics...
They don't like
they
it.
Want you to just dump a load every time.
Yeah, they want you to dump a load every time, and it's supposed to be about...
That's what they say,
impregnation.
Right?
Yeah.
They're like, it's all in Latin, like, Dominus, Rick, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And go home and dump a load in your life.
Yeah, right? Exactly. That's
now
the
they
rule.
Pass the collection plate.
Yeah. Protestants are a little more lax on it.
Yeah,
but
like, do it if you want. But like, you know, sometimes do.
Yeah, my uncle always said, I never liked wearing my socks to bed anyway.
What?
That was his response to condoms, is he doesn't like wearing his socks to bed.
Does he consider a condom a sock?
I guess
so.
It's
a dick
sock.
It goes on your
yeah.
wiener, not on your foot.
Yeah. But this song is called Ain't No Safe Way by Michael Sweet, who used to be the lead singer of a band called Striper.
Oh, I've heard of Striper.
And this is his solo career. And it goes as follows. It's a bad situation. Got the feeling inside. It means horny. Mm. And you know it ain't right to be with her tonight. Well, your mind's saying maybe, and your heart's saying no, and your body's saying hey on the green light, go. Tell me, man, how does it measure up to risk it all for a little pleasure?
Risk all what?
All of it.
All what?
Your soul, bud.
All you gotta do is before you die say I'm sorry?
Yeah.
So what does it fucking matter?
Plus, a lot of them say you can become a born-again virgin.
So what's the fucking matter?
Which is why I don't buy virgin olive oil. I just buy regular olive oil and pray with it.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Have I used that joke on here before? I feel like I have.
No, I don't think you have, okay. But I like it.
Ain't no safe way anymore. People with 1, 2, 3, or 4 abstinence rules playing is for fools. The one who abstains is the one who's cool.
That's not true.
There's no safe way. You can't. You say it can't happen, won't happen to you, and you think that you're protected and invincible too. If you play with fire, then you're gonna get burned.
What, by having a child? Is that what they're saying? Is that the implication?
Yeah, having a child or an STD.
But I thought they wanted people to procreate
only within marriage.
But all they have to do is pray for forgiveness, and then they'll be fine.
Yeah.
So what's So much of this is just like weird circular logic that doesn't make any fucking sense, where it's just like, do this, but if you pray, it's okay. It's like, so then why do I need to do that if I can just pray for forgiveness afterwards?
Exactly.
Like, you're setting a precedent that it doesn't matter what you do, so long as you ask for forgiveness after the fact, it's fine. So why do I have to do any of that other bullshit that you're telling me to do? Let me fucking just like get on with it.
Yeah, but I think, because like, we were always taught that if you're planning to ask for forgiveness afterwards and that's why you're sinning, then God's not going to forgive you because that was always the plan. But then you have to... But then if you ask forgiveness for that, then you should be good, I think.
Exactly. So again, it's the same fucking shit.
Yeah.
And what does it matter if you're planning on forgiveness? Like, well, I'm just going to do this and I'll ask for forgiveness later.
Yeah.
But you can't ask for forgiveness for that. But if you fucking kill somebody and then just ask for forgiveness later, it's okay?
Yeah. Yeah, like if...
What?
See Christian videos about Jeffrey Dahmer. Like, so many Christians have videos about how Jeffrey Dahmer's in heaven, and they think that's a good thing.
What?
It's like a testament to their faith. Yeah.
Oh,
because he became a Christian at the end.
No, that's awful.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with your faith being good. That's bad.
Yep. That's
like,
real bad.
What was it, like Groucho? Like, I would never want to be a part of a group that would have me as a member.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, or the song I love by Me Without You. It's why would I ever want someone so crass as to want someone like me?
Oh no! But I mean, that's a little self-deprecation there.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah. What are you gonna do? But folks,
this is
I give you permission to have sex.
Yeah. That's what we're doing. If you want to do it, do it.
Yeah.
Be responsible, be safe, all that stuff. Or not.
Consent.
I don't care. Do whatever you want to do.
Get consent, though.
Yeah, have that. Have that. But, dumb.
Dumb, dumb, dumb.
Dumb, dumb, dumb. Just beg for forgiveness from the good Lord after, and you'll be fine.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Bye, everybody. Love you.
Bye, love you.
Work, 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 Sky Moon.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.